Kutei Halachas Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Halachas Matana, Halacha Dalet, Ois Yud. We're in the middle of a halacha that we've been spending 2 or 3 days on so far. Rav Nosnal says, V'hat klal, the important rule to know is, She'tzrichen leida ulahamin, that a Jew must know and believe, She'chazdoi v'tuvo yisborach u'beli shir, that Hashem's kindness is unlimited. Kama shekosuv chazdei Hashem ki loy somnu ki loy cholu rachmo. As the pasuk says, Hashem's kindness never ends, and His rachmonis also unending. Uchsiv, there's a pasuk that says, ki hehorim yomushu v'hagvois temuteno v'chazdi meitcho lo yomush. Mountains might move, or valleys might be movable, but Hashem's kindness will never leave the Jewish people. In other words, it's so solidly attached that it'll never separate. The answer is that there are certain times. The question is, how can you believe something and know it at the same time? What Rav Nosnal is emphasizing is you've got to be working on both fronts in this. You'll learn about this. There's hundreds of psukim and hundreds of proofs to this that you're going to have within the knowledge section within the Torah. And besides that, or if a person who doesn't know it, who hasn't learned those psukim, or who doesn't have the recall to bring that pasuk up to memory, has to rely on faith for this also. You have to work on both fronts when it comes to this issue. The realization of Hashem's kindness is something to be learned and something to be believed in, both.
And the more you learn, the more you can believe.
For sure.
It's something people don't usually think about. Because you have to have your belief system based on real knowledge. Otherwise your beliefs are on the coup.
Strengthen each other.
Last night the Shira was saying before the Hakam Torah, the builders existed on kindness.
Right. Very important concept. We learned about it before also. Our whole hope regarding Olam Haba, the world to come, whereby we're yearning and hoping to receive from Hashem good in the world to come, it's all in the capacity of free gift. So therefore, the concept of our working in this world to do mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, is not the concept of a worker who's going to receive salary, but rather, it's a person who's preparing themselves to receive a gift. Alkane, we mentioned the example earlier of a king who's having a special party on a certain day where he's going to distribute gifts, and the people are instructed, come dressed formal, come dressed right and everything. But again, it's not all the effort that goes into dressing and grooming themselves and even buying special clothing and perfumes and everything to prepare for that. It's not in the form of work, but it's in the form of getting ready to receive a gift. Alkein, therefore, b'chol eis v'shov rega yesh biyodeinu lahaschel me'ato lohochen atzmeinu lekabel tuvoi v'chazdoi. Therefore, our mission is every time and every moment and every second to constantly be preparing ourselves anew to receive this kindness and goodness of Hashem. V'ho'ikr, what's the main preparation that's required on our side? Ayidei harotzoin, to want. To want to do the right thing. I want to get myself ready. K'may shekosuv admorzal, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in the Likutei Moran, she'ikr hu harotzoin, the main avoida of a Jew, the main work of a Jew is to want to do the right thing, to want. V'zeh yesh biyodeinu tomid. And this is something which a person is always in a position to do. You can't say, well, today I'm low on money, or today I'm low on this, or today it's too hot outside, today it's too cold outside. This issue of the rotzayin of a Jew is something that there's very, very little that could block it. If a person is aware of this, that this is the thing that pleases Hashem the most, sometimes more important than your action is your intent and your desire, then a person can really be working on that 24 hours a day. That even when I'm too lazy to take out a safe, I'm too late, We don't mean that a person should use this as an excuse always to do nothing. But at the same time, if a person's in a place, let's say again, a person's on a bus and they left home in a rush and they forgot to take a sefer with them. Shucks, this half hour is dead. It's dead time, I won't be able to learn. Baloney. You can spend that half hour wanting to learn, yearning, not just sitting, doing nothing, having given up because you don't have the sefer with you, but spending 30 minutes in a state of yearning, I wish I could learn, and I want to learn, I want to serve Hashem. And the fact that I don't have a sefer, I feel bad about it. And that itself should be an activity. That itself is a state of mitzvah. Or again, when a person is supposed to be speaking to Hashem, according to Rabbeinu Zal's way of having his Spiritus, a person is supposed to allocate time every day to talk to Hashem. What do I do those days when the words just aren't coming? Rabbi Nizal said that sitting in a room and yearning, wanting to speak for 20 minutes, sitting there just concentrate on the fact that I want to speak, but I don't have what to say, or I'm so down that I can't bring any words up, that itself is a major nachas Hashem. Ki chazdoi godoil kol kach, because Hashem's kindness is so great, at shegam ha-hachonois bi'atzmon, whereby even the ability to ready ourselves, even that's something that Hashem gives us as a gift. Kasher anu royim b'chush, as we see in real life, shehu oizer lanu b'chol yoyim loniach talis u'tfilin, Hashem helps us every single day to be able to put on talis and tfilin, v'likrois kriya shma p'mayim b'chol yom, and to say kriya shma twice a day, ma she'ein onu ruim l'zeh klal. We're not necessarily worthy of putting on tefillin or doing these mitzvahs. Kasher yodea kol echot benafshoy, as each and every one of us knows in ourselves that we might have done things to disqualify ourselves from being allowed to put on tefillin the next day, and yet Hashem makes it possible for us to do it anyway. V'chein b'shari mitzvahs, the same thing is true about other mitzvahs. Al kein, therefore, roi lonu b'chol eis lahoydeis loy ulevorchoy al kol ha-chesed ha-shroisim onu. It's only proper for a Jew to be praising Hashem and blessing Hashem at all times over the kindness that Hashem does with us. V'asher osed la-shroisim onu, and about the kindness that Hashem is going to do for us in the future. V'liv toyach b'chazdoy, and to trust in the kindness of Hashem. And to yearn for Hashem's salvation, and to be able to bring ourselves into a tremendous high of simcha as a result of this, as a result of being conscious and aware of how much kindness Hashem has done with us, is doing with us, and is going to be doing with us. And that'll give a person the ability and the strength to overcome all the obstacles and all the klipos and tuma that's constantly lining up to block the person from getting to the right place. Ad shenizkel iskar v'elev yisporach, till a Jew will be zoich in the end to succeed in coming close to Hashem, ayidei goydel chasodo v'rachmav hamarubim v'agdoilim, through Hashem's great kindness, she'enom tomim ve'enom kolim loylam, which never ends, it's never-ending, unceasing, omein v'omein. And with this, Rav Nosson Zal concludes the main thrust of this halacha. Now he's going to go off into an appendix explaining certain ancillary things, certain additional items, based on what we spoke about in this halacha. Yud Aleph, Shaykh Le'el, related to what we learned earlier. We learned earlier about how when it comes to a gift, somebody gives you something for free, there's more chance of messing it up than something that you work to earn. Because the fact that you didn't do anything, or you didn't do enough necessarily to prepare to receive the gift, there's more chance of klipos and tuma latching onto that than there is when you did work to earn something. Rav Nosson Zal writes here, V'alkein loy rotzo Avram Avinu lika chamora samach pelo b'matono me'efroin. This is the reason why Avram Avinu was hesitant to accept the Mora samach pelo as a gift from Ephraim. K'may shekosuv, as it says in the Torah, be'kesef mole yitnenoli. He said to the B'nai Ches, I'm not coming here to steal anything or to get any gifts. I'm prepared to pay full price for it. Because based on the high level of Kiddusha that existed in the Moras HaMachpelah, while it was in the possession of Ephraim, the Klipois were surrounding the Moras HaMachpelah tremendously. The Alkain Eitzel Ephraim Hoysa Choshech HaFela. Therefore, while the Moras HaMachpelah was in the possession of Ephraim, when he went inside to look at it, all he saw was blackness and darkness. The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that the word Ephraim is bigimatria ra'ayin. He had bad eye. Bad eye. Wherever he looked, he saw bad. He saw blackness. He saw nothing. Alkain loyho. So therefore, even though he had this piece of property, he didn't see the good in it. He didn't see the specialness of it. And yet, when Avraham Avinu, as a result of a whole story where he wanted to offer the three angels that came to him three tongues, he wanted to give each one a whole tongue to eat. And after he shechted two of the animals, one of the animals ran away, and he had to chase after it. And he was running and running, running, and it led him into this cave. And the Zohar Kodesh says, when he walked into this cave, the second he walked in, he saw wall-to-wall light. Extravagant, unbelievable light. And he knew right away that this is a holy place, this is a place that he has to acquire. So therefore, Alkein lohihoyo be'efsher lohitzio mi'efroin b'matono b'chinam. That's why it was impossible for Avraham Avinu to take this out of Ephraim's possession for free, ki'im be'kesef mole, unless he was prepared to pay full price. It's impossible to extract or to elevate something of holiness for free. Bifrat kedusha gavoya kazois, especially a kedusha like this, the burial place of Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, that burial place, impossible. V'alkein nosan loy arba mea shekel kesef. This is why Avraham Avinu paid exactly 400 silver pieces. Sheheim meramzim al tof almin de kisufa kamay shekosha b'zohar kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh discusses the fact that in heaven there is a certain item called 400 worlds of yearning, of kisufim. Kisuf means yearning. And the Zohar Kodesh speaks about that. This is why Avraham Avinu paid bedavka that unit of money, 400, Hainu in Kesef. In Kesef. Excuse me?
Ephraim said, what is 400 shekels?
Exactly, exactly. Why did Hashem work it out that Ephraim picked that number?
But also, you should know that there was a very heavy, that was a very high sum.
Got it.
So he was like, on top, he was a nasty person too. He says, like, he says, I'll give it to you for free. Avraham says he wants it. And he says, what is 400 shekels between us? That was a fortune.
For sure, for sure. And the word Ephraim is bigimatria 400 exactly. Because Ephraim, this Ra'ayin, is the opposite of the... When Avraham Avinu was paying this 400, he was taking it out of Ra'ayin and bringing it into Toivayin. He was literally making a full transfer of this item from lack of Kedusha, zapping all the klipos and everything that surrounded it and bringing it into the Kedusha. Because Avraham Avinu's money was very, very holy. In his money shined all the heavenly colors, which we spoke earlier, which is the greatness, a reflection of the greatness of Hashem. That's this 400 worlds of yearning. Shebohem misangim hatzadikim. The Zohar Kodesh says that's going to be the reward for tzadikim. Shehem bechinas klal kol hagavnin agdoishim. That symbolizes the totality of all the heavenly colors. Shehakoil te'evim umisangin leroisam alastakel bohem. Where all people yearn and crave to be zechet to see that and to bask in the pleasure, in the light of these 400 worlds. V'zehu bechinas arba mea shekel kesef oiver la soicher. This is why the Pasuk says he gave him 400 silver shkolim which are over la socher, which were usable in any country, gave them the most solid currency that was accepted anywhere in the world. And the targum on the words over la socher is the targumoi de miskabel bischurto bechol madinto. He used a type of money that could be accepted as currency for transactions in any country. Hainu shekol haschoyrois v'hamasumatn shebechol hamedino hakoil nas al yedei hakesef. All kinds of business and transactions that are done throughout the world are done with money. Kama shekosu, as the pasuk says, v'hakesef yanes hakoil. Money, with money you can buy anything. Machma sheba hakesef klulin kol hagavneni loin sheklulin betov almen dekisufin. Because in money is found a light, this light that comes, that emanates from these 400 worlds of kisufin, which is this place in heaven which everybody yearns to, everyone wants that, that part of that light is found in money. And this is why people feel such a strong desire for money, because it has a flavor of that tof almond kisufa in it. Shehem b'chinas arma meya shekel kesef. That's why it's called this 400 shekel kesef, corresponding to the 400 worlds of kisuf. Kesef means silver, kisuf means yearning. Ubekoyach se kono Avraham es moras ha-machpela me-Ephraim. And it's with this power, these gavnin Eloin that were found in the money, that Avram Avinu was able to buy this place, the Moras HaMapel of Mefroin, al yidei shegila gedula saboire, by Avram Avinu revealing the greatness of Hashem, showing off the greatness of Hashem, al yidei ho'arba mea shekel kesef shaloi, in his 400 shekel kesef, shoyu klulim bohem kol ha-gavnin kanal, in which was summed up all, in other words, this was a micro version of the heavenly colors. In his 400 shekel kesef, he had a micro version of the spectacular array of colors that are found in those 400 worlds. Shaydeze nichnu haklipois shirotzu lesaches shom. Through that, he was machnia all the klipois that wanted to attach themselves to the great, great kedusha that was found in the Moras HaMachpelah. V'noflu v'nizbatlu, and they all fell and became null and void. V'also hasoda v'hamaora, and the field, that whole lot, and especially the cave, rose up v'nikne l'Avrom, and was acquired by Avram Avinu. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Chumash, v'yokom sedei Ephraim, the field of Ephraim stood up. What do we mean? It stood up and took a bow? No. Tekuma hoisaloi kama shapirish Rashi sham. Rashi Kodesh says it means it was given an upstandingness. Until then, it was suppressed. It was being squashed and held down by the tumah that was suppressing its holiness. But now, once he got rid of all of that junk, now the field was able to have a tekuma, an upstandingness. V'hakol al yedei hisgalus hagavnin shebekesef shel Avram v'chanal. All of this was accomplished through the light that was revealed in the money of Avram Avinu. Avul bevadai Ephraim lo zocho lehen oismei lo agavnin. However, even after Ephraim got this money in his pocket, it still didn't help him. He wasn't able to benefit from the light in that money. Ki achakach kishebo hakesef liyodoi, because as soon as Jewish money is transferred into the hands of the goyim, nisalmu agavnin, the light goes into hiding, the colors go into hiding. Shein b'chinas tov almin dekesifin, which symbolizes these 400 worlds of yearning, which the goyim have no connection to whatsoever. That's the case of Avram Avinu. V'chein David loyrotzo lekabel goyren aravno b'chinam. And so too David HaMelech, when he was buying the lot on which the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built, he also refused to accept it from Aravna for free. Kishom hoya mokoim ha-Beis HaMikdash. That was the place on which the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built. Shoya bilti efshar lohoitzi me'asidrachra b'chinam. It was impossible to remove that from the possession of the Sidra Achra for free. Kiim bekesef mole. But rather, the Jews have to be prepared, the tzaddik has to be prepared to pay full price for it. lahachnia haklipois shesivavua, in order to be machnia the klipois that are surrounding it. How? Al yidei hisgalus hagavnin shebekesev ezor kanal. It's that light that's found in silver and gold that blinds those klipois. It zaps them out. That's what gets rid of them. V'alkein nizkar shom etzel David kesev ezohu. That's why the Torah, especially when it mentions David HaMelech making this purchase of that lot, it mentions specifically gold and silver. K'mayshikosu bedivrei hayomim, as is written in Divrei Hayomim, bekesef mole, that David HaMelech purchased it with full kesef. Vayitein David shkolei zohov. And it says he paid in shkolim of gold. Why does it mention kesef v'zohov bedavka related to the purchase? Because when it came to the Beis Hamikdash, he was trying to elevate, he was trying to lift up and present to the world the highest Kedusha in existence, Shehu Mokim Beis Hamikdash Ubeis Kodesh Kodeshim, which is the site of the Holy Temple, the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the site of the Holy of Holies. Alkein Huchrach Legalois Kol HaGavnin Shebekesev Ezohov. Therefore, David HaMelech had to be able to reveal and present the full array of light that's represented by gold and silver, kidei lahachmia haklipois shohu misaviv shom, in order to be machmia the klipois that was surrounding that area. Ki kol ma shehakidusha govoya yoiser, because the more you're dealing with a higher level of kedusha, misaviv shom haklipois biyoiser, it's got more klipos around it. Ukemoikein tzrichin lahamshich hisgalus hagavnin yoiser. Therefore, you have to draw more hisgalus hagavnin kedei lahachniyom ulevatlam al yidei zeh kanal, in order to be machnia the klipos and be mevatel the klipos. And what we're learning here today is current events, because this is literally what's taking place now in another part of the world. There's a little town called Uman, which is the town where Rabbeinu Zal chose to be buried in, where you have also a Mora Samachpel over there, you have a Kever of a Tzaddik there, and this Kever of a Tzaddik can't be nothing. There's no logical iota of reasoning as to why 2,500 people or 3,000 people would be willing to pick up, and for some of those people to take $500-$600, to them, they wouldn't buy a house. They can't afford to buy a house. If you were willing to give an apartment for $600, they couldn't come up with it. And yet, for the privilege of going to the kever of this tzaddik, they'll go to all kinds of extremes to come up with that amount of money. And the fact that this is found in the worst, in the lowest country on earth, Russia, Kishmoy Kainhu, that name didn't come from the sky. The fact that that name is called, that country is called Russia, is because it's the epitome of Rishoyim, the communists who wanted to uproot Yiddishkeit from its shirish, from its root. And they almost succeeded. And Rabbeinu Zal was buried bedafka in the Ukraine, where those who know the different tribes of Russians know that the Ukrainians represented the worst klipos, the worst tumah. And within the whole Ukraine, Rabbeinu Zal picked Uman, which was the place where the worst maskilim, the leaders of the Haskalah movement, were in there. There's all kinds of stories how they evicted all kinds of rabbis who tried to take over leadership over there. And Rabbeinu Zal chose to be buried over there among 30,000 Jews that died al Kiddush Hashem, where this Gunter came in and gave the Jews an option to bow to the cross, or to have them die by cutting off limbs of their body, cutting hands and feet. And 30,000 Jews went ahead and accepted that kind of a horrible death rather than to bow to a cross. And Rabbeinu Zal chose to be buried there. And this site is in the process of being purchased and being built up today, literally. It started a few weeks ago. It started at numbers like 40,000, 20,000, and slowly, slowly, there's additional monies that are having to be paid now daily to obtain full ownership of land in that city on which to build a mikdosh mat, on which to build a shul, which is going to be used for Rosh Hashanah, number one, for thousands of Jews who are going to come there with mesiras nefesh, literally mesiras nefesh, to daven together over there, number one, and also it's being used in Mitzvah Shem to establish a center for Kiruv in this place. This super klipa, super tuma, there are now thousands of Yidden there that are first starting to know about their Yiddishkeit, that in Mitzvah Shem, this building, these buildings and mikvahs and kitchens and Aron Kodeshes and everything that's being prepared there now is going to be used in Mitzvah Shem to be makar of thousands of Yidden. And this is literally what's taking place near now, the fact that it can't be gotten for free. Last year there was talk about Kravchuf giving away 40 dunams of land to the Breslov of the Hasidim to do whatever they want with, and the talk was all baloney, because you could never take something of importance away from Goyim, something that's of value to the Yidden, without being willing to pay for it, without paying a certain price, and Kesef Mole. And the fact that the Kesef Mole is being paid, we believe Be'emunah Shleima, that it is going to have its tekuma. This field over there is going to have its tekuma now, and in Mitzvah Shem, it's going to have its effects on the world. We'll see how this affects the world picture. A few years ago, when they first started going for Rosh Hashanah, about 4 years ago, when the first group of 250 Breslova went for a Rosh Hashanah, when they were riding back from the airport, when they were returning to Yerushalayim from Tel Aviv Airport, I had the privilege of being in a bus that greeted them at the time. I wasn't zecher to be there that first year, but riding in the bus back to Yerushalayim, I was told by the elders of Breslov that you're going to see the world shake as a result of the fact that 250 Yidden davened in Uman for Rosh Hashanah. And P.S., that year was when perestroika started happening. That year was when the communist monster started crumbling. And the next year, when 1,000 people went there, was when the whole communist government came to dust and ashes, literally turned to zero. And the following year, when there were 2,000 Breslovers, when the Berlin Wall crumbled. And every year now, Mitzvah Shem, we expect bigger things this year, because again, till now, each time we daven there Rosh Hashanah, it was on their turf, it was on their land. This is the first year of Mitzvah Shem that we need miracles. It's not finished yet, because they've undertaken a project of putting up a building in 30 days, approximately, and other kinds of hysterical things, which is going to require tremendous siyata d'shmaya. But if it happens, Mitzvah Shem, if it succeeds, this is going to blast the klipos over there to smithereens. And Mitzvah Shem, we'll see the tremors throughout the world from what's being done there, Mitzvah Shem. Halavai, we should be zocher to have a chelek in it.
Oh, yeah.